Welcome to today's edition of Feet to the Fire, where we're always challenging the status quo. For more cutting-edge commentary, go to feettothefire.org. That is feet, the number two, thefire.org. And now your host.
So I've got a question. Why is it that we conservatives are called not compassionate for pointing out the lie of systemic police brutality against blacks, which is not a true reality? It's a false narrative. And we're also called not compassionate for pointing out the real problems in African-American communities that need to be addressed in order to help the black community. Why is it that we're not compassionate? Now, I'll get to that momentarily, but before I do, I wanted to mention a couple things. Continuing our conversation on this police brutality issue, did you know, you may not have heard, it's being reported potentially that the ethnicity of the cops in Minnesota and in Louisiana described as non-white, now not confirmed yet, please don't contact Feet to the Fire, that we're completely wrong, I just said it's potentially being reported. The ethnicity is not has not been directly revealed, is not directly known yet. Very interesting. Also, the affidavit in the Louisiana incident, the police report, police warrant, said officially that Alton Sterling, who was on the ground, that the cop saw in his pocket the butt of a firearm, and just prior to him being shot, he started to reach for it. So again, we just have to wait for the rule of law and for all the details to come out and for a lawful trial. All right. Let's get back to this issue. I left off in our last program talking about four major things you got to remember in this debate over supposed police brutality. One is that hands up, don't shoot, which is the major, clamoring slogan, the outcry, the banner for this movement is not true. That's a lie. Hands up, don't shoot didn't happen. I said that Black Lives Matter is a murdering hate group terrorist organization in bed with groups like the New Black Panther Party. So that's something to keep in mind because it's not a mainstream civil rights group. It is an extreme hate group. And again, these people have always been around, these extremist kook fringe wacko leftists who want to stir up racial violence. And really their end goal is not even civil rights. It's some greater liberal agenda. They've always been around. Just now, they're getting a soapbox and a loud mouthpiece because we're all giving credence to this. I also said that systemic police brutality, I've said so many times, is a fabrication. And Obama is a community agitator using demagoguery. He is a demagogue. He's making the evil white community look like the oppressors and the aggressors and victimizing the black community and saying, you need me to be, and the Democrats, we need to be your political savior. Give us your support and we'll take care of you. Thus dividing up the country. As we said, this is the politics of victimization or grievance. There's always a grief for one cohort of voters. And if we can get all those voters riled up and angry from different groups about different issues and movements, then they'll all consolidate their support around the Democrats, in this case around Obama, and it will promote our leftist agenda, which ultimately is what's behind all this. So you may hear me clicking around. I'm trying to pull up some various information that will be helpful in the discussion. But Obama actually went out and said, in response to the Dallas shooting of those cops, making a statement to law enforcement, that he wants to be the intermediary between police and minority communities. And he said this, that he will, that, quote, I'm your best hope. This is unbelievable. This is from the great divider-in-chief, not commander-in-chief, divider-in-chief. And if you think that I am blowing smoke, is Obama that divisive? This is from Victor Davis Hanson, writing for National Review, a conservative periodical. He said this. He was talking about the American experience, the American experiment as a whole over the last couple hundred years. Such a bold experiment as America was always tenuous because of the bringing together of various races and ethnic groups. And it was against the cruel grain of history in which the hard work of centuries could be easily torn apart by the brief, listen, the brief demagoguery of the moment. Unfortunately, President Obama, ever since he first appeared in the national political scene in 2008, has systematically adopted a rhetoric and an agenda that is predicated on dividing up the country according to tribal grievances in hopes of recalibrating various factions into a majority grievance culture. In large part, he has succeeded politically, but in doing so, he has nearly torn the country apart. Indeed, it is no exaggeration to suggest that no other recent president has offered such a level of polarizing and divisive racial bombast. Now, that's a reputable conservative commentator. He's absolutely right. So Obama keeps beating this drum of supposed police brutality against minorities, and yet not a word from him or any of the so-called civil rights coalition on the real problems in the black community. Well, what am I saying about the real problems? What about the actual statistical systemic problems, like statistical systemic welfare and food stamps, which is remarkably high in African-American communities. Now, this is going to be very politically incorrect and not for the faint of heart, but it's out of desire to be compassionate and address the real issues. How about the rate of broken homes in the black communities? How about the fatherlessness rate, the orphans rate? How about the crime rate, the drug abuse, the unemployment rate, all of which are statistically high in African-American communities, and that should be addressed. What is being perpetrated because of the welfare state and liberal Democrat policy against black communities is debilitating. It's debilitating physically, spiritually, mentally, culturally, and yet no one wants to talk about that. Do you know these urban centers where a lot of these altercations happen, where a lot of these high statistical rates are in the black community? They're all these urban centers throughout the country are run by who? Democrats, liberals. And there are even black governing officials in these urban centers, Democrats. Like I said, the example with Baltimore in the case of Freddie Gray. These are cities run by Democrats, and yet Democrats are never blamed. Liberal policy is never blamed for hurting the black community. It's always white America, majority America, and Republicans. No, where these problems are for these statistical problems for African-American communities, it's in Democrat-run urban centers that have been run by liberals and liberal policy for decades. Now, rather than being an intermediary, which he's not, it would be more helpful. See, we don't need an intermediary for supposed run-ins between racist cops and innocent black civilians. What we need is for all of us to investigate how we can help the black community with the actual statistical problems that are leading to the run-ins with police. So you hear people say, well, you know, black dads have to say to their kids, you know, you got to be careful out there. You know, be careful on a white cop. You may not even be able to carry a firearm. You're going to get attacked. That doesn't help. That's just perpetuating a lie. That doesn't help young African-Americans and the next generation of the black community address the actual problems that are causing, like I said, run-ins with the cops and the some of the decay that we're seeing in the black community. And if you think that this is you know, not politically correct, let me read to you a quote from the chief of police in Dallas, who is black, Chief David Brown, talking about the imposition placed on cops to solve every problem. He said this in response to the shootings: "We're asking cops to do too much in this country. We are. We just ask of us to do too much. Every societal failure, we put it off on the cops to solve." And then he says this later: 70% of the African-American community is being raised by single women. Let's give it to the cops to solve that as well. That's too much to ask. So even a black chief of police is recognizing there's inherent problems in the black demographic that should be addressed to help them, but it's being ignored. And then he actually invited people. He said this: "Serve your communities. Don't be a part of the problem. We're hiring for the police force. Get off the protest line and put an application in, and we'll put you in your neighborhood." Brilliant. Now, the reason Democrats and the Civil Rights Coalition don't want to address these actual statistical problems is because you don't get political power, political influence by addressing these issues. You only get votes and political influence. You only exploit the people by maintaining them in the status of dependent victim with this grievance politics. You have to understand the new welfare state and the culture in the black community is being forced on this demographic as an institutionalized slavery. Do you understand what I mean? Slavery, in an official sense, ended. But then the African-American community has been pigeonholed and forced onto social programs and entitlements and dependency and welfare, and that has created institutionalized slavery, where that demographic is constantly now dependent on the government, liberals who come along and promise welfare and food stamps and unemployment checks. And in that sense, there's this bizarre, as I keep saying, institutionalized slavery. Keep voting for us Democrats. We'll promise to take care of you. Those are all false promises, as all socialist promises are. Promises of socialism never deliver. We'll give you what you need. We'll give you your food. We'll give you handouts. And yet, and keep voting for us. And yet the poverty continues. And you see people in that community not getting a job. That's why there's a high unemployment rate, dependent on the government. And so they keep voting for liberals because this false promise with no way out, and it's perpetual. It dehumanizes people. People shouldn't be constantly on the government dole. They should be allowed to work and get a job and be encouraged to be contributing members of society. What about the hip-hop culture that constantly spews out violence, violence against cops, violence against women, I need my hose, and sorry for the language, and emphasizes drug use and celebrates crime and all these kinds of vices? No one wants to talk about that. Where is Obama advocating for blacks if he claims to be the first black president and should be speaking on their behalf? He's not talking about any of these problems. And if you think I'm blowing smoke, as we come to the end here, I'm running out of time, to show you that the welfare state and socialism is used to exploit blacks and the black vote, please listen to these quotes from Lyndon Johnson, President Lyndon Johnson. You know who that is? President during the 1960s. It was his legislation called the War on Poverty, which was one of the greatest expansions of the welfare state and socialism in American history. Democrat President Johnson pushed through his war on poverty, expansion of socialism, and he said this. I'll read you one quote for him. He said, "I'll have those N-word," that's the racial slur for blacks, "I'll have those N-words voting Democratic for the next 200 years. Unbelievable. The president who pushed through welfare, expansion of welfare. That's because the Democrats, the liberals know that this kind of liberal policy promotes a continuing dependent underclass that will keep voting Democrat. It has nothing to do with skin color. It has everything to do with exploiting a certain segment of the population. And if these people, these liberals like Obama, were authentically black and cared, they would bring this stuff up. But no, they just keep this constant outcry in line with the Black Lives Matter movement to keep trying to gain political influences, political ambition. Civil Rights Coalition, same thing. A lot of money, a lot of power, a lot of influence in it. It's a huge industry, thanks Al Sharpton, but not a word on the real things to help the black community. It is spiritually, culturally, physically devastating, and no one wants to talk about it. Let justice roll down like waters, America, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Don't believe the hype out there. As I said, these nutties have been around forever, but now they've got a mouthpiece, a platform with the Black Lives Matter movement, and a mouthpiece because they got one of their very own spokesmen in the White House, Obama, the commander-in-chief of community agitation. He's the community organizer-in-chief, the community agitator-in-chief. And everybody's listening, and this racially charged rhetoric is getting louder and louder, but that's why I'm here, to hold their feet to the fire.